add my welcome to that of Trevor's. It is lovely not only to have people here who we can physically see, but also those who will be Zooming in later. Paul reminds us in Romans, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is such a priceless gift and treasure. And it is something which God offers to everyone, and it's a beautiful gift that he does give. I'd like to invite you, please, to stand as we reflect together and praise our God in Zion. Please join with me in saying this together. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. Please have a seat. Loving God, what a great privilege it is to come together to worship you, to build up the body of Christ, and to enable you to make us to be more like Jesus. Thank you that you are a God who speaks to your people. You work where two or three are gathered together and bless us with your presence. And we are so thankful for your presence and your love today. And we praise and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we say the prayer of thanksgiving, can I encourage you just to spend a little time reflecting on some things you are personally thankful to God for. Please join with me in this beautiful prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have the great privilege of hearing the very words of our living God. And before we actually do that, I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. So please bow your heads as we ask that God would help us hear his word as it really is. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 14, starting at verse 1, and is on the screen if you want to follow on. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarrelling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if everyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. and everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, thanks, Rosemary. Thanks, Fiona. Once again, welcome to church. Thank you for being here and thank you for listening in to our podcast or to listening into the sermon series and our time of worship here at Abbotsford Anglican Church here. So we continue our Bible teaching time through the book of Romans. And so if you've got a Bible handy at home or if you've got it on your phone or if you can turn to those now to Romans chapter 14. Up to now, Paul in his letter has been describing how it is to be right with God. And it's through the work of Jesus Christ. It's through his mercy God shown to us that we've received that by faith. Not by anything that we've done, but by the work of Jesus on your behalf and my behalf, accepted by faith. That's up to Romans chapter 1 through to 11. And then in chapter 12, there's a turning point. In view of God's mercy, Paul says to the church, I urge you then to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, now holy and pleasing to God. This is your proper act of worship, or your spiritual act of worship, the way in which we can please God together. And so chapters 12 through to 16 now talk about what it means to live out the life now that we're right with God in the life of the church and amongst each other and in the community around about us. And so this is the third of the sermons through Romans 12 to 16. The first we looked at is being, now that we are right with God, live the right life amongst yourselves. And so in chapter 12, Paul talks about the importance of unity. The faith that God has given to us is equal faith. You don't have more faith than I have, and I don't have more faith than you have. The faith to save is the one that's equally amongst us all. And that's what reminds us that we are one in Christ. And so in the life of the church and the way in which we act, we do our ministry amongst each other, it's in the light of promoting unity and oneness to the glory of God together. Last week, we looked at what it means to live the right life in the community, and in particular to those who govern us. And I was very much aware that I left the elephant in the room alone and didn't actually address him as well as I thought I had indeed. What if the governing of, and Paul reminds us in that chapter 13 to subject ourselves out of reverence to Christ to our governing authorities, for they've been instituted by God before us. But what if our governing authorities are evil and corrupt or ask us to do things that God doesn't want us to do? Well, of course, we put God first and we respectfully subject to the governing authorities by our respectful, informed and wise disobedience out of that in a loving way. And we talked a lot about that on Sunday night at our Bible study, about how we might actually put that into practice and during the week as well. And you may well have too in your little group of Bible study. And so today we come to what about when we disagree over disputable matters? And the disputable matters here are not so much as not the gospel itself or how we are right with God or things that are plain in the scriptures. This is about like whether we eat this food or not this food, if we drink or we don't drink, if we wear suits to church or if we wear board shorts to church, you know, if we have all lots of hymns or we have modern songs, you know. It's over these issues of disagreement in regards to grey matters, of which we might be personally and convinced as to what we might be persuaded by. And so today, I've not written out the sermon in full, and that's a real danger when your minister doesn't write the sermon out in full, because you ask my wife, he tends to waffle, all right? So I need to keep an eye on the time, but I wanted to look you in the eye, and I wanted you to look me in the eye too, because this is a matter about how we relate to one another and how the world sees us as well. And because we're wanting to promote Christ and the glory of him and to live in unity with one another. And so I want to look at you in the eye as I talk with you about the scriptures today to do. Christians will disagree over grey matters, all right? If we're in a church where it doesn't disagree, then you're in heaven already, okay? My father-in-law used to say, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't join it, because it's automatically then made imperfect amongst you've joined it. and so we look. Christians will disagree over matters of grey matters there. And so how do we respond to that? Well, in your bulletin, and as you were handed out email to you by Janice, I've written a summary out of how to go about doing this. And I'm going to bring that up on the screen very shortly. But the first and most important thing is to realise here how we relate to one another reflects our attitude to God and what he's done. If I treat a brother or a sister out of, not in a loving way, I'm basically saying I don't respect Jesus, I don't respect the gospel, I don't respect God. If I don't take the time to think through how to relate to one another, I don't take God seriously. And so Paul is very clear, he says, now in the light, in view of God's mercy, not his favour towards you or something that we've done, but in view of his mercy, undeserved favour, this is how we are to respond to one another. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's going to be hard. Put the other first. Be as Christ to them. In view of God's mercy, do these things now that you are holy and pleasing to God. And verse 19 really sums up these verses in chapter 14. Every effort, do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And by peace, it means peace with God, harmony with God, harmony with others, and harmony with self. In the context that there will be disagreements, but here it's towards, leading towards peace and building up of the church, mutual edification. These are the two big aims. Peace and mutual edification. And what am I saying? And how am I going to relate to this person today? We disagree over this matter. How am I going to word it in such a way that will promote peace amongst the two of us in the church? And how will it promote mutual edification? That they will be built up to be more like Jesus and I will be too. They're the questions I'm thinking to ask. And I hope you might ask them too as you're dealing with each other in these matters. Make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And so Paul brings out this point, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarrelling over disputable matters. And here instantly our sinful natures take over because the perception, what is here the question over weak faith or strong faith is a matter of perception and persuasion. A person who is strongly thinking about a particular way may see themselves as the strong one in faith. And they're the other person as the weak person in faith. And that other person who thinks that they're weak, they think that they're strong. And I'm weak in this matter. And the word that Paul uses here is very important to know, the word faith. Remember, faith, the way Paul uses this in his letter is the same all the way through. It's saving faith. It's the faith that you and I have been given equally to each other to be right with God in view of his mercy. So whether the moment I start to think that I'm a strong in the faith and they're weak in the faith, I know more, I'm better, I'm a more mature, closer to God, right with God Christian than my brother or sister over this matter, we're not using the word faith properly as Paul intended to. The word faith throughout the Romans letter is about unity in the church and about working towards oneness to the glory of God. And so when it's saying here, accept the one whose faith you perceive or they is weak or different to you. You're strong in your belief, but they're different in that. And see, also, it's a question over whether we think that that faith is challenging their belief and how strong they are. I've got a little summary in the bulletin there, how I've actually summed that all up, if I'm not making myself as clear as I should. But accept the one whose faith is weak without quarrelling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. Why? For God has accepted them. Why? Because of what they believe? No, because of their faith that God has given to them, that unites that person and me and the other person. Who are you then to judge someone else's servant? A reminder here that the other person is not my servant to do as I bid or to bully, but they're God's servant. They're God's child. And God is dealing with them where they're at. And we need to be mindful of that. To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand in his relationship with them. So therefore then, stop passing judgment on one another. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block in the way of a brother or sister. What does that mean? It simply means this, that if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat or drink or not drink or not eat or wear or do about behaviour, then if that distresses them, causes them to think, am I saved? Am I right with God? And then it's better not to do those things. In fact, he tells us, don't do them. Right? Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Be like Jesus to them. Go the extra mile. It's far better for them to not be distressed in that matter. So do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. So I've summed it all up in this way. Live the right life when you disagree. Why? Because it's out of obedient response to God's mercy. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The world might want us to think differently, but look what the scriptures tell us. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how is our mind renewed? In accordance with the scriptures. Then you'll be able to test. Then you'll be able to see and approve as you put that into practice what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Major point number one, make every effort when we disagree over grey matters not pertaining to the gospel, make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Understanding that strong or weak in faith is a matter of perception and persuasion. Paul's use of the word faith is the same throughout the letter. It's a saving faith, a gift from God meant to reassure and promote unity. Paul in this chapter here doesn't want strong Christians to go, or strong faith-based Christian thinking people, to think of them as being more important to God than another Christian who that person perceives as a weaker faith Christian. It's about promoting reassurance and unity. As we mature as Christians, we will observe beliefs and behaviours in each other, disputable matters that question the power and efficacy of our faith. You a very familiar illustration is Eric Liddell. Who knows the story of Eric Liddell? Remember that story? Okay, Eric Liddell was, I think, in the 1924 Olympics. I think it was in France. I think it was. I can't remember where it was. But where was it? Paris. Well, that's France, isn't it? It's great. Yes, we've got it right. And he had a heat that he had to run on the Sunday in order to qualify. But because he viewed the Sunday as being a Sabbath day to him, a day of rest to the Lord, he chose not to run on that day. Now, you may disagree with that and think it's not necessary anymore, or you may think it is. You may think that was honourable or silly, or immature or mature. It doesn't matter. That's what he's decided to do. That's one of the discrete questions that are in your Bible study this week to think about. How would you respond to that situation yourself? Be careful. Be careful when we are disputing over when we're talking about disputable matters. That aren't clear in the scriptures. Be very careful. The temptation will be for us to think of oneself more right with God than another or less. Watch that. Be careful. Be careful in that relationship. Second thing, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarrelling over disputable matters. In this chapter, Paul just says four reasons why. He says, like you, they are saved by faith and belong to God. They stand or fall before God, not me or you. Like you, they are accountable to God, not you, or you to them. Third thing, like you, they are fully persuaded in what they believe. Accept doesn't mean agree. Like you, they need to be loved. And loving one another is the most important thing to do. And that doesn't mean accepting, doesn't mean agreeing, it means accepting the person and still maintaining the relationship that we have there with them. Stop passing judgment on one another. Be fully persuaded and convinced in what you believe. My mother used to tell me, it's better to look a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. It's a sermon's nightmare, all right? It's a preacher's nightmare. But again, you know, it's so important. You know, better to look a fool, look as if you don't know anything in the than to open your mouth and in the long run be seen to be a fool, all right? You stand or fall before God, not anyone else. But if it distresses or discourages another Christian, all right, then we need to not do it. And I think if the majority in that way, for the one or two, the majority go and do what's right by the minority in that matter. Why? Because Paul says the kingdom of God, our relationship with God, individually and corporately as his people, is not a matter of eating and drinking, wearing clothes, what sort of clothes, what time we have church or not have church, what we do in church or not do in church, who comes and who doesn't come. It's not about that. It's about righteousness, people knowing how to be right with God and living the right life with God together. That's what the word righteousness there means. The whole of that letter is about righteousness with God. And also, it's about peace. People knowing peace with God, peace with others, and peace within oneself in relationship with God. No longer his enemies, and therefore they're no longer enemies amongst one another. And I love the last one again, just as much as the others, but joy in the Holy Spirit. Disagreements don't bring about joy, do they? God's intent is for us to be joyful in the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in us towards these two things, and to be joyful together in our relationship. This, because anyone who serves Christ in this way, that's pleasing to God. Not whether he eats or she drinks or whatever. This is what pleases God and receives human approval. So therefore then, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Your worth as a person, my worth as a person, this is often what we argue about or disagree over matters, isn't it? It challenges our worth as a person in the eyes of ourselves and others. It is not based on what other people think, or what I think, but on what God thinks about us. And we see that at the cross. We see that in Jesus at the cross. We matter to God. We are loved by God. We are secure in our relationship with God. We ought to be rejoicing in our right relationship with him and each other, maintaining peace, promoting joy in the Holy Spirit because of the cross. And this song reminds us of just that. So let's listen in.
My worth is not in what I hold, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame,
Isn't that a beautiful description, that my Redeemer is the wellspring of my soul? He might not be the wellspring of your soul yet, and if not, please feel free to talk to Trevor or myself or someone else, because we long that you would come to find this treasure and peace that is only found at the cross. Earlier in the book of Romans, we were reminded of what people are like without Christ, and it's certainly not pretty. Before coming to the time of confession, I'll just remind us of something that we heard earlier from Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. And it's really a working of the Holy Spirit that we also become conscious of our sin when we're reading God's word and he brings to light areas that God needs to change. So I invite you now to join with me as we acknowledge not only what God has done for us, but our continual failures to live up to his standard. Please join with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone. Amen. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Today, our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We are so thankful that God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives those who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ. For in Jesus there is no condemnation. Amen.
As we continue in our time of prayer, we know our world is groaning amidst its sinfulness, and we know that things aren't perfect. Without God, we have no hope. So let us pray now for our world. Almighty God and Father, we bring this world to you, caught in the grip of COVID. Prosper the work of those seeking a vaccination for the virus. Protect and strengthen those treating the sick. Please comfort the sick and those mourning in the souls that are lost, their loved ones, those suffering. May your people remain patient, wise, and a firm trust in your sovereignty. May your people throughout the world reflect the love of Jesus and your glory. We ask that the hearts of many may turn their hearts to you so that they might find peace, which only you can give, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Continuing for the world, Father, we ask that rulers and governing authorities seek truth, justice, and carry out decisions and policies for the good of the people and their countries. We especially ask at this time that in America, that uncertainty be laid at rest and democracy will be carried out and there will be stability in this country. May their election decision be settled soon for the good of its nation. For the persecuted, we ask, O Lord, continuing strength in their faith, relief from their affliction, help for their families, provision for their needs. Thank you for their prayers for us. Help us to be faithful to them in prayers for them. We ask for relief. We ask that their persecutors may turn to Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We bring our land here in Australia. O Heavenly Father, grant that our Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his ministers will have wisdom and guidance, particularly by you, particularly navigating the difficulties of opposition and manipulation from those around them or other nations. We also ask that our government and Defence Force superiors investigating crimes in Afghanistan will have wisdom to seek the truth and find ways to prevent this happening again. May you protect those who have come forward as witnesses, and the prejudice of those serving in the forces may not have any reprisals as a result. We pray for the victims and their families, that they may find your comfort in their pain and anger. May your church be able to reach out to them so that they may know your care. Grant them the relief in their despair and sorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. O Heavenly Father of compassion, we also pray for the Defence Force chaplains as they minister to those serving here in Australian forces. It is a difficult and troublesome time. Lord, we ask for wisdom, warm, loving hearts. Help them to be of help to others. Encourage them in their ministry. Help them as they listen and learn and know how to navigate this problem with these men and women. To reassure these men and women who serve here in Australia of God's love and grace for them. Also, that the chaplains will be able to have your strength and comfort after caring for them in this difficult, difficult time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We now pray for our community, O God. Oh, Lord, thank you for this wondrous area. Thank you for all those who work in our community to make things run smoothly, for the hard work and for the beauty you have given us in nature all around us. Equip us to be faithful witnesses to those around us. We also ask that your values be upheld here in Canada Bay, that your word may be upheld and honoured. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for your message today. For those who struggle around us, Lord, we ask for your help for them. And we think of those amongst here who struggle, have their own difficulties. We especially remember Kay Woodcock, Lynn and Graham Clark, Max Schweitzer, and Jean Steele. Grant them your strength, comfort, and hope in their uncertainty. Thank you for the work of Trevor and Rosemary, our leaders, Karen, the parish council. There's just so many to name, for those who are faithfully giving your word out to the children in stacks and in scripture, and also in the kindergarten and playgroups. Dear Father, we thank you for these opportunities, and we pray that we are faithful in looking for these opportunities as we go about our business here in the community. We pray for our neighbours and friends, Lord, that they will know Christ, that as they see us worship and come to Bible study and prayer groups, Lord, they will wonder why we do it. Turn their hearts and their minds to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Dear good Father, thank you for all that you do and have done for us, for your endless love, your grace unending, and your heart for us. Help us to understand more of your goodness. Help us to love one another as you desire, as we heard today. Help us to understand the passion of your love and praise you with a passion. Use understanding of your goodness to shape us. Give glory and honour and praise to you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our precious Saviour. Amen. God of power and love, who raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from death to life, resplendent in glory to rule over all creation, free the world to rejoice in his peace, to glory in his justice, and to live in his love. Unite the human race in Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Tina. Big ears. Draw your attention to the announcements in your bulletin. Just quickly, going through those, you'll get them in your email. Please read them. But firstly, just to say that if you would like Holy Communion at home, I'm happy to come and visit you and bring that to you. You can read more about that in the bulletin. Also, our kindergarten director has resigned, and we're looking at finding somebody else for that position, so pray for them. She's done a marvellous job, and it's a transition, a time in her life now where she wants to go somewhere else, but we're looking for someone else, so pray for that. That's coming up. If you've got any questions about today's Bible teaching time, please join me overnight time here at 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock will be all over. But at 5 o'clock, come and join us, or just give me a ring or talk with me about those things after church today. Fiona's been reading a book from Romans, so I'm going to ask Fiona quickly, just briefly, come up and tell us a little bit about that, and then I'm going to interview Anthony, if he's here, because about his mission.
There's a variety of different things available about the book of Romans. And one that I find is very, in some ways it is a little bit dense, but it's very, very solid teaching, is a book by John Stott called Men Made New. And so I'd like to share with you just a few little quotes from this book, and if anyone would like to borrow it, you're very welcome. He's only chosen to look at four chapters, Romans 5 to 8, and he says, these four chapters depict the great privileges of justified believers, people made new, the rich inheritance, both now and in eternity, which is ours if we are Christ's. What are these privileges? Each chapter concentrates on one of them. First, peace with God. Second, union with Christ. Then, freedom from the law. And finally, life in the Spirit. And then he spends the next four chapters going through those. And so just to share a little bit about union with Christ. The wonderful thing about our Christian justification is that our death is followed by a resurrection in which we can live the life of a justified person, having paid the death penalty in Christ for our sin. For us then, it's like this. We deserve to die for our sin. By union with Jesus Christ, we did die, not in our own person, because that would mean eternal death, but in the person of Christ, our substitute, with whom we have been made one by faith and baptism. And by union with the same Christ, we have risen again to live the new life, the life of a justified sinner. The old life is finished. We've died to it. The penalty is borne. We emerge from this death justified. The law cannot touch us because the penalty of sin is paid. These are very comforting scriptures to read, and some bits you might find you need to read over again a few times to have it sink in, but it's a fantastic look at those four wonderful chapters. So just a little encouragement for you to spread your reading a bit.
Thanks, Fiona, for sharing that with us. John Stott's a great writer, and we've got many other books there that John Stott's written as well too. Is Anthony with us? There he is. Come on down, Anthony. Come on down, your turn. Come on down. Anthony's going on a mission. Tell us briefly all about it again, just briefly about it, and then how we can pray and how we can support you. All right?
I'm going back on mission in January. Heading up to the Central Coast again. Not sure exactly where, but probably going to be maybe similar area to last year. We've got a big group this year. We've got about 19 of us going, so that's an increase from two of our different groups.
Yep.
And then a few missionaries as well, so it's going to be...
And so you're dealing with adults or children, teenagers or young adults?
It's going to be a mixture of people that we're going to be talking to. It's going to be probably more adults, going to shopping centres, markets. The beaches are going to be a big area, especially in that sort of January period where it's going to be quite busy during the holidays. Just reaching out to people, seeing what their spiritual... level is like, and just having a chat with them.
And this is not the first time you've been on the mission, is it?
No,
last year was your first year, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, last year was my first year.
Well, you can tell you're all excited about going on a second time. It's great, thank you.
Yeah, so last year was a very opening experience. There's a lot of things that I did where I really stepped out of my comfort zone.
Yes.
I'm excited to be back. Excited that I had the chance of spreading God's great news again.
Now, I understand it's all paid for now. People have donated and things like that to get you to go.
Yes.
Right? How generous this church is.
Very generous. Yeah, I just want to thank everyone again that helped out. I wasn't as nervous as I was last year asking for money because I knew that I had a church, but also I knew that I had God being there to help me out. So, yeah.
Oh, let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity that Anthony and others have to go on a mission up north to share the good news about Jesus and to care for those around about them. Thank you for the encouragement that this has been for Anthony and others like him in equipping him and empowering him to see the joy and the value of sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Thank you for the confidence you've given to him. And I do thank you, Heavenly Father, for the generosity of my brothers and sisters here in supporting Anthony in this role. And we thank you for our part that we can play in your kingdom work in him and in others. To you be glory. Amen. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for that encouragement, bro. That's really good.
Good point.
All right. I think that's... No, I think that's all for me at this moment.
In this day and age where, for some people, they say there's no such thing as truth, it's really important to be clear on what we believe and why we believe things, which is one reason why we regularly affirm that in the church. And I invite you to stand as we join together in confessing and making clear not only to ourselves but also to each other. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe
in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat. We've been encouraged today to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And just before we leave, I'd like just to allow you a little minute to think and reflect on that. Lord God, what a beautiful kingdom you are bringing in, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Please enable us to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Please join with me in this prayer together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people, in the power of your Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The God who Christians worship is a God of hope. May he fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Seated, and if you want to chat and talk with each other, that's fine to do that, or go straight out into the playground and have a chat out there as well. If you're new or visiting us today, please make yourself known to us and we can share with you. And if you would like prayer, you may